looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Good morning. Good morning, Reading. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy here on an absolutely glorious Saturday morning. Jim, what's the weather like?
Sunny Saturday morning.
Sunny Saturday. That's where the sun was coming.
That's what you were going to say, right, Trudy?
It is not Sunday.
No, it's going to be nice today. Another warm day, about 64 for the high. Maybe some clouds coming in tonight. There is a slight chance of rain tonight and tomorrow, about a 40% chance. So if it does, it's probably not going to amount to too much. So it's all in all a pretty good weekend. And next week looks like sunny, mostly sunny all week. High is getting into the upper 60s maybe. So a little break from winter, at least for now.
We need it. And then if you can get out and get a little sunshine on your eyeballs, don't look straight into the sun. But, you know, it's good for you. It's good for your pineal gland.
Your which?
Your pineal gland in your brain. It helps you feel happy, feel appreciation. So we have a great show coming up today. A lot going on. We're going to start with Michael Jatowski from East Earth Trade Winds, and he has Reading Acupuncture, and he's going to talk to us about what is acupuncture, what is it good for, and then we're going to go to our chefs, Roque and Tiff Carbajal. They're going to talk to us. They're going to teach us a little bit about chicken soup. So we're going to go back into cold weather pretty soon, and we're going to need a little bit of some skills here on how to have good chicken soup. And, you know, the magic of chicken soup, we know, are the minerals. And so if you can take those bones, the bones of the chicken, if you have a chicken that has bones in it, and you can cook that soup, cook the broth, you know, put a little bit of vinegar in the water and make a broth, you pull out all sorts of minerals. And it's not so much that minerals are hard to get, they're hard to absorb. So if you can get them in your broth and, you know, you can get a little bit of high potassium, it's easier to get well and stay well. That builds your immune system. So we're going to talk about chicken soup. And then we have Wayne Kessler, who's already in the studio, and he's from Shambani Organics, and he's one of the organizers of an event coming up on January 22nd, which is an all-day event, which is kind of a community educational forum promoting local agriculture, local food. And so this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy, and we're going to be back with lots of good info. Welcome. You're listening to Positively Healthy, and if you want to call the show today, the call-in number is 605-4567. My promise to the station is that I will remember to give that number in 2011. It didn't happen much in 2010, so, you know, always trying to improve here. Michael, good morning.
Hi, Trudy. How are you?
Good. Nice to see you. Hey, thanks for coming on today.
It's my pleasure.
Well, good. Michael's going to be with us. Oh, hopefully about once a month, come on and teach us something about acupuncture. You know, we've learned from you a little bit about the history of acupuncture, a little bit about why it works, and, you know, I don't know if we can even go over it enough. It's like, what is it again? What does it do? Does it hurt? You know, we have all these questions. What is it good for? How long have people been doing acupuncture? And this idea of prevention, I think, is a really important concept for people. People, you know, in our world, they talk about prevention a lot. What can I prevent? You know, it's like, it's one thing to treat something that hurts right now, but wow, the unknown, the future. So
yeah, and that's a big part of acupuncture is prevention, too.
Yeah, so tell us about it.
Well, the one thing I wanted to talk about today was what acupuncture can treat. And typically the case is I get people who don't know that acupuncture can help them. For example, I had recently a couple come into my office. It was late in the afternoon, and they'd been to a store, and somebody said, well, why don't you try acupuncture? And so, not knowing anything about it, they dropped by, and I was just about ready to close, but we sat down and talked. And the lady made a comment about, like, well, you know, you don't really advertise what acupuncture treats. It's not like we see a billboard with a needle stuck in a shoulder or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, that indicates that we can treat shoulder pain or knee pain or all these different problems. And I know that that's one of the problems with acupuncturists needing to educate the public more. But the result of our conversation was is that the lady's husband ended up getting treatment, and so far it's been looking very positive.
Excellent.
On the results. So,
yeah.
So a little bit of education helps. So that's what I wanted to talk about today. And typically what happens when somebody comes to acupuncture is that they've been to everybody else first. And they've been to their doctor, maybe got a prescription or physical therapy or massage or countless other things. And finally, out of the blue, somebody says, have you ever thought about acupuncture?
Yeah.
So, and they haven't. You know, they have no idea that acupuncture could help their shoulder pain or neck pain or back pain or depression or PMS or things like that. So they end up coming in, and more often than not, they're pleasantly surprised by the results. You know, and I have to say that you know, acupuncture can't treat everything. You know, I wish I could say, you know, whatever you have, come in and we'll fix it. But to be realistic about it, we can't. That's why we have other doctors. You know, like chiropractors do the physical structure things, and you know, massage therapists have their purpose. Medical doctors have their purpose too. So there's also lots of ways, you know, for people to get better. But with acupuncture, one thing that I see a lot with people, and it's a common complaint, and they may not come in initially complaining of it, but they, let's say somebody comes in and they've got, you know, shoulder pain or back pain. A lot of times I'll have people say, you know, I'm overweight. Can you help me with that? And so in the course of our discussion, we come up with other questions, because I do like a history with people when they come in to find out, you know, what's how the problem was caused and their medical history and things like that.
Yeah.
And then other symptoms will come up. And a real common one that is probably ignored, or maybe people don't know it can be treated, has to do with weight loss. And it's basically like low thyroid symptoms. So people have weight gain, or they can't lose weight. The typical person will be maybe a middle-aged woman who's overweight and can't lose weight. She'll diet, exercise, you know, go to gym classes or whatever, and that little needle on the scale does not budge. You know, it's always at, you know, 185 or 200 pounds or whatever it is. And they get frustrated and just kind of decide that, well, I guess that's all I can do. But, you know, I mean, I've tried, or my husband says, why don't you lose weight, and I can't, things like that. But along with this, they'll have symptoms like maybe they're tired, they've got fatigue, lethargy, maybe no motivation. They might have a little bit of hair loss, which is a thyroid symptom. Things like that, or they might have brittle nails, constipation. Sometimes they'll have...
dry skin.
Dry skin, yeah. Yeah, just use more lotion, right? I mean, it seems simple, like, you know, minor problems, so you don't really think about dry skin.
But when you add them all together...
That's the point, yeah. When you add them all together, it looks like it's a thyroid problem. So I'll start to see these people and ask them the questions, like, do you have this, do you have that? And they'll start going, yeah, I have that, I have this. And they don't think about it too much. And then I ask, like, do you get cold easy? And they go, oh, yeah, I'm cold all the time. And that's another big one with low thyroid. So they get cold easy. So what happens, though, is I'll ask, have you ever had your thyroid checked? And they'll go, oh, yeah, I had my thyroid checked six weeks ago or 6 months ago. Or I had
everything
checked
came back normal.
Yeah, exactly. And I know you run into the same thing,
yep,
too. Yeah, and it's very common. But what's happening is that the small picture is the blood test. The big picture is all these other symptoms that are saying, you know, thyroid. And so... it can be fixed, you know. It can be changed or made better, and part of that is elevating their body temperature, because their metabolism is slowed down. And what I believe is that their body's not utilizing the thyroid hormone in the body. So once that changes, they start feeling a whole lot better. And along with some of these symptoms too, can be like depression, can be a big one. You know, mood swings, you know, things like that. So it's an important one for you know, to be treated.
Excellent. So then, for all those listeners, we know that undiagnosed thyroid problems have epidemic proportions, and a lot of people get a nice, clean bill of health that they're fine, and they still have that huge, long list of thyroid problems, that symptoms.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So here's a case where we can start regulating the system using acupuncture, and then what would a treatment look like for people who still are like, okay, that means the needles, does it hurt, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah, so in acupuncture... you know, we use very thin needles that are inserted into the body, and the needles stimulate the nervous system and circulatory system. And so in a case like a low thyroid, what we're trying to do is increase the metabolism and increase the heat of the body. And we'll also use maybe some herbs to treat that also. But as far as the needling part, usually I use points that are on the extremities, usually from below the elbows or knees, or maybe some points on the abdomen for like a low thyroid kind of condition.
Mm-hmm.
The needles stay in for about half an hour. It's relatively painless, little pinprick.
Now, where is the patient during this time? Are they in their own little treatment room?
Yeah, they're in a treatment room.
Okay.
Yeah, we have treatment rooms. And we can treat people. Typically, someone will lay on their back, maybe have a bolster under their knees so they're comfortable laying down.
Okay.
But sometimes with some problems, for example, like a back pain, I can actually treat them sitting in a chair. Sometimes people have severe back pain. They can't lay down, or mm-hmm. they don't want to lay down.
Yes.
Especially they don't want to lay face down. So I use a technique, like I said, using points below the elbows or knees, and so I can actually have them sit in the chair and insert the needles, you know, in their extremities and treat the back pain. And it's through the system of meridians or pathways that we can stimulate the circulation in the low back, encourage the brain to produce the pain-relieving chemicals called endorphins, and alleviate their back pain.
Now, you said the needles are in for a half an hour.
Yes.
Okay, and then you slowly take them out, and do they just leave the premises after that? I mean, are they done?
Yeah,
or
yeah, pretty much they're done.
They
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, because it's kind of like, you know, when you're listening to the radio, and maybe your radio is too loud, and you're adjusting the dial, you know, it's like, oh, I can't hear it, or it's too loud, turn it down.
Yeah.
And basically we're kind of doing that with the body. I mean, it's not that precise as a dial, but basically we're trying to, you know, get something to go away. For example, too much pain, or let's say they're tired.
Mm-hmm.
We want to kind of dial it up so that they have more energy or their body's functioning better. So the needles, there's been research studies shown that acupuncture needles left in, you know, about 30 to 40 minutes is kind of optimal. It doesn't really have any additional benefit, you know. So if they leave them in longer, the only exception to that I find is maybe somebody has a migraine and it's like right now and their head's just pounding.
Yeah.
And they do need extra time just to kind of settle down and relax a little bit.
Now, how do you deal with sports injuries?
We treat a lot of sports injuries.
Okay.
Typically, it's important to get things treated right away. During the first 24 hours, people often use ice to reduce swelling. But after that, I usually recommend not to use ice. The Chinese thought a lot about how the body works, and one thing that they thought was important was that the body was warm, and that can tie back to the thing that we talked about earlier about the thyroid, about you need the warmth in the body to make things work. But with sports injuries, what you need to do is increase circulation to that local area, so the needles can help reduce the pain, reduce the swelling. Typically, if you have like an acute injury, we can probably speed up the healing time, you know, maybe almost in half. You know, I've treated people, for example, like bruised ribs, which can take 6 weeks to heal. And in 3 weeks they're doing very good. So
excellent.
Yeah, so it can really help speed up the process. And once again, there's nothing on the needles. We're not injecting any substances or things like that. It's strictly adjusting the body so the body heals itself.
And how deep do those needles go? They're just barely in there.
Yeah, they're barely in. It depends on the person and the needle location. Let's say there's all different points on the body, and typically I put mine on the arms or legs, but if you put some like in the hip, for example, they can go in quite deep because you have lots of muscle and padding in that area. But typically they'll go in maybe anywhere from like an eighth of an inch to maybe half an inch deep. But it's strictly in muscle tissue, and you really don't know the difference.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. You can't really tell. So, hey, we're going to take a quick break here. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt. You're listening to Positively Healthy. We've been talking to Michael Chytowski. We'll be right back. Hey, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. Welcome back. You're listening to Positively Healthy here on KCNR 1460. And in the studio, we have Michael Chytowski, and we're talking acupuncture.
Yeah, what can treat.
What can it treat? And so now let's say, you know, what are the typical amount of visits that people need? And if someone wants to, you know, that they're not hurting and they just want to start like a prevention program, you know, like, gee, I just...
You want to stay healthy.
They just want to stay healthy.
Yeah.
How often should they come?
Yeah, that's a good question because it depends on the person. So
okay.
I don't think there's an exact answer. But typically we'll have,
okay.
let's say somebody has a pain problem. We might have them come in like 3 times a week for several weeks initially.
Mm-hmm.
Because generally the quicker or closer together the visits, the quicker you're going to respond. Okay. And some people say, you know, gosh, I got to go to work or I can't do that. But at our office, we're open Monday through Friday, you know, from 8 to 5, and we have evening hours on Tuesday and Thursday, and on Saturdays we have hours, too. So we try to make it convenient to people.
And you have another acupuncturist working
with
you.
We do. Yeah, we have another acupuncturist. Her name's Erica Shepherd. In fact, she's working today at our office, and if anybody wants to make a call or, you know, make an appointment, they can call her. Our number is 223-2346. That's 223-2346. And
okay.
You can schedule a consultation or an appointment.
Yeah.
But getting back to how many visits, Yeah, a typical course of treatment might be about 12 visits, something like that, maybe more. And it just depends. If you have a chronic problem, if you've had this back pain for 3 years,
yeah,
you're probably looking at extended visits. But the idea is to treat more frequently at first and then space the visits out, and then eventually you just kind of come in, you know, like a tune-up or as needed. And eventually the goal is basically that you don't need to see me very much, because I'm keeping you healthier and shape.
Yeah. Okay. Now, for the person that has no symptoms, but, you know, eventually they could get something.
Yeah.
What
and
do you suggest?
Yeah. And that's the no symptom thing can sometimes go back into our original discussion about thyroid, because sometimes people have a symptom like dry skin or something.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you know, they don't think of it as a problem, but when you tie it all together, the big picture again, maybe they do have
still
a problem.
Still a sign of
they
an imbalance.
Realize.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's something wrong. So in Chinese medicine, there's a different way of diagnosing people, and we utilize the tongue. Looking at the tongue can tell us different things, like we look at the size or shape of the tongue, if there's a coating, is it there no coating, or is it white or yellow, or different things like that. Sometimes the tongue has a bit of a swollen characteristic to it, which leaves teeth marks in the side of the tongue. All these things give us different ideas about what's going on in the body. And then we also do pulse diagnosis. And the Chinese developed a system of feeling the radial pulse on the wrist. And those tell or give us an idea of the internal organs. So, for example, on the left wrist, we have the pulse for the heart, the liver, and the kidneys. And on the right wrist, we have the pulse for the liver, the spleen, and also the kidneys. So we can look at those. And sometimes we can tell interesting things from the pulse, too. And I have to admit, I'm not an expert on that. It's something I'm totally always trying to refine and get better at. But sometimes you can tell things like kidney stones or neck pain or things like that by feeling the pulse, which is a pretty amazing thing that you can do. So
So
when somebody comes in, let's say they don't have a complaint, you know, we look at the tongue, we look at the pulse, you know, and just go over
we
the
start
symptoms.
Regulating things before they're a thing.
Yeah. And, you know, nobody's perfect in health. I mean, everybody's got some sort of problem, but you can always, you know, try to make yourself better.
Excellent. Well, gosh. Well, thanks for coming on today. We love having you, and you're still going to come every month, right?
Yeah,
okay,
that's the plan.
Good.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, well, we've been talking to Michael Jatowski, an acupuncturist here in Reading. He has East Earth Trade Winds, which is the same home of Reading Acupuncture. And we'll be right back after these messages.
Kicking down, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Welcome back. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy here on KCNR 1460. And we're now going to talk with Tiff Carbajal, amazing Reading chef. How are you doing?
Good. Good morning.
Good morning. Gosh, we're going to talk about chicken soup, chicken vegetable soup.
Chicken vegetable soup. Good for the body, soul, everything.
That's great. And, you know, we're missing your other half.
Yeah, he has a cold today.
We know what you're making tonight.
Stop sniffling and coughing.
Oh, no.
I'm making the soup for dinner tonight.
Good. So, now you have Sweetie's Bakery and Catering here in Reading.
Yes.
And then we know Rocky, your husband, is the executive chef over at Northern California Rehab Hospital. You guys are just, you know, doing great stuff, getting real food to people, real food to sick people. He's done unbelievable things over there at that hospital, just slowly chipping away, getting rid of the chemicals and all the preservatives and canned food and getting fresh food to people who are healing. So,
exactly.
Can't say enough about that. And let's talk about this recipe.
So chicken soup, pretty basic, right? I mean, see it all the time, but do we really know how to make it?
No.
So start out with some chicken bones if you want to make your own stock. I either just take the meat off the bone when it's raw, and then I just boil the bones in some water, a couple splashes of vinegar, like maybe 2 tablespoons of vinegar, depending on how many bones. I'd say if you're using bone thighs, the bones from the thighs, from the chicken thighs, then maybe about 6 of them.
Okay.
And about a gallon of water. A little bit of, vinegar in there. And let it boil for about an hour, hour and a half. And then you want to strain out the bones. And if you have time, cool down your soup, or cool down the broth, and then you can pull the fat off the top of there, and that way you have a low-fat broth. Or you could always do that later on after you make your soup.
Okay.
Because the fat will float to the top, and then it's very, very easy when it's cold to just pull off all that fat.
Okay.
Because that way we don't want to be eating that.
Okay.
So have your broth off to the side. It's already done. You can make that ahead of time. You can have it in the freezer. Or an easy way is you can buy all-natural chicken broth these days in the grocery store already made. A lot of times it's organic also, and that's a little bit easier if you don't have the time to boil the bones.
Okay, good. So we've got two options here, huh? You can do it shorter or you can do it longer.
You can make your own broth or you can just buy all-natural chicken broth.
Excellent.
Which is tasty and pretty readily available these days, not too expensive.
Yeah, okay.
So, and we're all so busy that sometimes it's just open up the container of really natural chicken broth.
Okay.
All right, so start out with your vegetable. Actually, start out with your chicken. You want to take your raw chicken, put it in a shallow baking dish, and then sprinkle some salt, pepper, garlic powder on top of it and bake it in the oven for about 10 minutes at 350 degrees. And then that way you don't have to mess with cutting up the raw chicken. You don't have to get your cutting boards dirty, your counters dirty. No, not so much cleanup.
Wow.
So just put your raw chicken in a shallow baking dish in the oven, 350 degrees, salt, pepper, about 10 minutes.
How slick is that?
Yeah, it makes things life easier.
Okay.
So while that's in the oven cooking, you have about 10 minutes. Cut up a large onion, about 3 medium to large carrots, about 4 large stalks of celery. Mince up about 5 or 6 cloves of garlic.
Okay. And mince means what again?
Just chop it small and
chop
fine.
Chop it small.
You can even just slice it.
Okay.
Slices are fine.
Okay.
Of the garlic. And then you want about 1 pound of broccoli or cauliflower. Or if you have another vegetable in mind, that's fine too.
Okay. So you can mess with your vegetables a little if you have favorites.
A little bit, yeah.
Okay.
If you want to add mushrooms in there, that's fine too.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Don't get too fancy, but I try to use seasonal vegetables. You know, broccoli and cauliflower are plentiful this time of year. They hold up well in the soup. They won't break down too much, so.
Okay.
It works out well.
Ooh, that sounds good.
And then we have the option, you can use either potatoes or rice. You don't want to use both because then it'll be too starchy of a soup. So we're just do either just potatoes or just rice.
What's your favorite?
Depends on how I'm feeling that day.
You shake it up, huh?
Yes. So start out and saute your onion in some olive oil, about a couple tablespoons of olive oil. Saute the onion till it just is a little softened up. Put in your carrots and your celery and your garlic and just saute them until they're a little bit soft.
Okay.
Basically,
it's kind of looking like a stir fry right now. We're just
exactly in
a big frying pan.
Just softening it up, getting the vegetables warmed up in the oil. You don't have to cook them all the way through because we're also going to add our broth and cook it that way.
Okay.
So you just want to soften them up and just make a little bit of color on the onion.
Okay.
Just a tiny bit.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to open up the garlic, you know, and get the house smelling all delicious.
This is for the house.
More for the house. Start out with the soul.
That's right. Good.
Then you can add in your broccoli and cauliflower and your broth. By that time, your chicken will be coming out of... add in your broccoli and your cauliflower and your chicken broth. And then you want to put in some herbs. So about a teaspoon of each kind of herb. Thyme, rosemary, tarragon, and maybe 1 bay leaf.
Oh, okay.
And then you can let that start cooking. So then your chicken's coming out of the oven.
Okay.
You want to save all the juices that are in the pan. You can actually just pour that into the pot, too. And then you want to take the chicken out of the pan and dice it up.
Okay.
And then, you know, it's already cooked. So it's cooked chicken. Just dice it up. And then you can add that to the pot with the broth. And you'll have your potatoes all ready. Peeled or unpeeled, doesn't really matter. If you use russet potatoes, I would say peel them. If you're using red potatoes, just scrub them up and just leave the peels on. Cut them, you know, to chunks.
Okay.
If we're using rice, use brown rice, 1 cup of brown rice, and scratch the potatoes. You know, no potatoes.
Okay.
In that case. And then you just want to simmer this soup, you know, like, you know, on medium to low fire for about an hour. And then you know it's ready when the potatoes or the rice is cooked.
Gosh, that's pretty easy.
And voila, you have chicken soup.
Now, what if you already have cooked rice? Can you just add some cooked rice?
Yeah, if you add cooked rice, you just want to put that in the last 10 minutes of cooking. So in that case, if you won't have any potatoes in there and your rice is already cooked, so you know the soup is ready when your vegetables are soft.
Now you're just waiting on the veggies.
Yeah, just try a piece of celery or a piece of carrot, and if it's soft in the right consistency of how you like it to, you know, crunch in your mouth or not, then your soup is ready, usually about half an hour at that point if you have already cooked rice.
Okay, so now we've got we don't have to really pay attention to the chicken because it pretty much already got cooked,
yeah,
right?
The chicken was cooked in the oven, okay, so you're good to go on that one.
You don't have to stress over, is the chicken done?
No.
Are we going to kill anybody? Or everybody gets
and
all
it's
going
to be all moist and juicy because you just baked in the oven barely 10 minutes just to where it's cooked, so it's still juicy and... Yeah.
Excellent. Okay.
Be delicious. And then, yeah, this is like the fast version of the soup because you don't have to worry about the chicken being cooked. it's already done.
Okay. Now, I think that just that we can do this. Yeah. I don't know. Jim?
I think I could do that.
Yeah,
I love, you know, just cooking vegetables in a frying pan, just get them ready to go into something like that. I mean, that's where the flavor comes out. And
exactly.
You start smelling it and go, ooh, this is going to be good.
Okay. We're all nodding that we can we can do this soup.
It's going to be good.
Yeah, pretty much have your vegetables, have your meat already cooked, throw them together with some broth, and you have soup.
And it can last a couple days.
It even tastes better a couple days later.
Oh, all right.
So you can just cool it down, have it in your fridge. You know, you come home from work, you're tired, just grab a bowl and either warm it up in a pot or in the microwave, and you have a healthy, low-fat dinner.
I love it.
Satisfying.
Take it to work with you. Yeah. You've got the best lunch going.
I wanted to mention that if you are feeling sick and you're doing this chicken soup to, you know, heal a cold or something, doubling the onion and the garlic in the recipe would be just fine and even better for you. And
excellent.
It won't change the flavor too much. It would just make it a lot healthier and help you get heal faster.
Oh, perfect. Well, gosh. Yeah. Well, wish Rocky our best. You know, we missed him, and we hope he gets well.
Thank you.
And and then you guys are getting ready to go into catering season.
Oh, yes. We're preparing for that. And Valentine's Day.
Valentine's.
Lots of desserts.
Oh, good.
So,
that's great.
Do custom orders. So if you want to get your sweetie a cake or a cheesecake or a pie or something.
Now, where can people find you guys?
They can either give us a call.
Okay. And your phone
Our phone number is 229-3713.
Okay.
Again, 229-3713. Or they can email us, sweeties, sweeties, catering, catering, at sbcglobal.net.
Oh, thanks. This is Tiff Carbajal. Thanks for coming on.
No
problem. Appreciate it. And you're going to come once a month, too, and
yes.
teach us a recipe.
Will do.
All right. Hey, you're listening to Positively Healthy. We'll be right back.
Today,
welcome back. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy here on KCNR 1460. And our next guest in the studio is Wayne Kessler. And good morning, Wayne.
Well, good morning, and thank you for inviting me on your show.
Well, you're welcome. It's nice to have you back. You were here teaching us how to do some gardening, how to think about having a winter garden a few months back, you know?
Well, that's what we're doing right now, winter gardening, right?
I know. Well, some people are. I am not. But I was inspired by your conversation. And so, but you're spearheading a whole movement going on here. We have an event coming up next weekend on Saturday. So
yes,
let's tell the folks out there in radio listening land what's going on.
Well, it's an all-day forum.
Okay.
And it's titled Go Local, a forum on the future of our food.
Uh-huh.
And basically it is a beginning of a discussion of our local food system.
Okay.
And many communities throughout the nation have gotten into this local food movement and all of this. And so we're going to start a discussion here in Shasta County of our regional food system. Now, why are we talking about a food system? I mean, don't we have enough food? Well, I've been reading and I've been hearing on radio and seeing on television that our current food system in the United States is not sustainable. We are relying too much on processed food. We've become unhealthy and so forth like that because we're not eating enough local fresh food. And so
by the time it gets here, it's already its way out?
That's one of the things that we're dealing with. We're trying to get a good discussion started that will have an outcome of maybe some things that we can do to improve the food system. And the whole forum, an all-day forum, I'll just outline it very quickly here.
Okay.
We have four panels. And the first panel, we're going to be looking at what is grown here, what is produced here. And we have noted people in the agricultural business talking about what they produce here.
Okay, so I see Margaret Jensen, and we know her from the Farmer's Market, mm-hmm. the Good Work Organic Farm. We see Mary Rickert from Prather Ranch. We see Kaylin Redwood, who has Redwood Seeds, and we see Bob Nash, the Superior California Economic Development person. So
yes.
They're going to have their own, like, the audience will be watching them have a discussion right there about what we're growing? Or?
They're going to be looking at what they do,
okay.
What they produce.
Yeah.
They're going to look at the opportunities and challenges they have for making things better.
Mm-hmm.
They're also going to probably present some ideas of what they would like to see in the future for in their business. And so we're going to
Are you talking about what we should, what else they wish we were growing or producing?
Yes, and more.
Okay.
You know, what kind of systems that we need to improve our local system, our local food production. And then we're going to be moving into, well, there'll also be a lot of questions and answers from the audience.
Okay.
So the audience will be participating from very in the beginning by, asking questions and giving comments and so forth. Then we move into a second panel, is that how does the food get from the farm to or the ranch to the table? In other words, we're looking at the distributors, the marketers, and so we have several people that are going to talk about that activity.
Okay, I see Mary Occasion. We all know Mary from Churn Creek Meadows Organic Farm, so she's the moderator.
Yes.
And so she'll have a group of people who... Basically, I see Tyler Dolly from, what's the name of his ranch in Red Bluff? Big Bluff? No. I can't remember. Anyway,
yeah.
we have Hat Creek Grown. I see Rick from North State Grocery, and we have the Twining Tree Farm people there. Okay, so we've got this group, and they're talking about what? Producing it, but then trying to get it into the hands of the consumer?
Yes, those are the distributors.
Okay.
And, where is it going? Where is the food going? And so, again, they'll present the same type of topic that they will talk about, what they do, how we can improve the system, the local system, and how we can, get to move to the next step. And then...
Is the next step more production?
More production, expansion, more efficiency, getting it into the hands of the people that really need it.
Okay, good.
Okay, and
I
then,
like that.
Then we're going to break for a networking lunch. And the lunch is going to be seasonal food, and it's a networking. So we're going to be having activities during the luncheon. And we're also going to be mixing it up so... We hope that producers can meet consumers and those who want to buy their products and so forth. So we're going to mix it up like
that. Okay, so this is people can shop for food during this lunch?
Not shop for food,
okay.
But shop for information.
Shop for information.
Yes,
so they'll
context.
Have tables, all these people
we're
who are
going to have. We're going to have a luncheon where we're going to have a sit-down lunch.
Okay.
But we're going to mix it up. In other words... We're going to have a salad course. Then, after the salad course, we're going to move to another table.
Everybody gets up and moves?
Everybody gets up
and
moves.
Oh, I love it.
And then we're going to have the soup and bread. And then we're going to get up and move again for the dessert function.
Oh,
So we're going to try to get the networking system started for those who say, well, I grow this, but I don't know where I can sell it.
Yes.
And if I can meet a distributor or a market or somebody who's interested in buying it, a restaurant, then I'm making my contacts.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to try to make it activity-based. Then we're going into the third panel after lunch, which is going to be on who's consuming the food. And so we have several people talking about that.
Okay, and on my sheet here it says the moderator is Mary Schrenk from Shasta County WIC program, and then she'll be talking to a group of people, including Melinda Brown from People of Progress, and someone who is an urban gardener, Annette someone, do you know?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know her last name. Okay, and then we have Denise Ohm from Enterprise Elementary School District, and Carrie Isaacson from Shasta County Public Health. So those are kind of your lineup.
Right, right. And then after a short break, then we can move into the fourth panel, which is going to be looking at what do we expect or what we would like from a improved food system? In other words, we're looking at some visionaries that will have some ideas of things that might work here in Shasta County or in the North region, you know.
That we're absolutely not doing or that we...
are not doing well enough or we could improve and expand and so forth. Because do you have an idea how much is produced here in the local region that we actually buy and eat?
No.
We don't have the exact figures, but it's far less than 5%.
Oh, I would think, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, maybe 1%.
Which is depressing.
Yes. And so we are totally dependent on our food from outside sources. And we're experiencing... the leading economists say, well, it's not sustainable. Our current system is not sustainable. Why isn't it? Well, we're facing a rising cost of food and fuel costs, which makes our cost of our food go up. And a second thing, we're facing a health problem because we're eating the wrong kinds of food, and we have become this country has become obese, an undernourished country. And so we're also facing safety issues, recalls of eggs and meat and so forth. And we are, you know, also we have an uncertain climate change that is causing lots of problems around the world about production of food. And the cost of food has gone up around the world 5 times for wheat, 3 times for corn, and so forth. So we could have an availability problem, too. So some foods may not get a choice.
Oh, great. Okay, we're talking with Wayne Kessler of Shambani Organics, and we're going to be right back with more answers and more questions about our local food supply.
Today, most beef and...
We're talking to Wayne Kessler of Shambani Organics, and welcome back, Wayne. Okay,
and
good.
Let's go.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I want to get clear how people can find you or find the information to register for this. It's $10, right, for one person?
For one person,
okay.
$20 for a family. There is a parallel children's program going on at the same time so the family can come together and be... you know, involved with this whole activity.
Okay.
And it's an all-day activity starting around 8 o'clock in the morning until 5 o'clock. So it's a long day's activity. It's a working forum. It's just not sitting around listening. In the afternoon, we're going to have a brainstorming session to deal with what to improve things with, and then we're going to have a facilitated wrap-up at the end. So hopefully we'll come out with some distinct ideas and activities that will move toward improving our food system here.
Now, it's been pretty well promoted, would you say? You guys have really...
Every time
I turn around, I see a promotion for this event, so that's nice.
And people should register. We're trying to keep it down to 250 people because that's all we can have food for at the luncheon time.
Okay.
So we would prefer everybody register by the 20th online, and it's sort of a go local blog spot, and I don't have it in front of me.
So if they go to golocal.com, in fact, we'll have Jim go there right now. We'll just see if that's for certain.
Well, it's a Go Local blog spot, actually.
Okay, golocalblogspot.com?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, we'll find it, and we'll let everybody know.
Yeah.
So what, basically, you need pre-registration because lunch is included. You
yes.
can't just decide on Saturday morning to go.
Yeah. If you cannot make it and register and you'll take a chance on getting there and there'll be spots, you can come there that morning, but I don't recommend it.
Okay.
In case we get too many people, we don't want to turn anybody away.
And has pre-registration been pretty good?
I'm not up on what the exact pre-registration is.
Okay.
Probably not as, we have not filled up. Yes.
Okay.
People
so there's
have plenty
room.
There's plenty of room. Yeah. So don't worry about that.
Now your guest speaker. Tell
yes.
us about him.
Well, Michael Dimmock is the president of Roots of Change, Roots of Change is a national organization that it promotes local food systems. And they were involved with the film called Food Inc. that was shown last year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, he is a dynamic person that has a lot of experience with what is going on in the local food movement. And so
across the United States?
Across the United
okay.
States. So he brings perspective into this. So anyway.
So he's the first speaker.
He's the speaker that we'll start off the day with. And he also will facilitate the wrap-up session in the afternoon as well.
Okay, so it says right here, 7:45 to 8:15, you're registering.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then 8:30 is when really Bill Burroughs starts the welcome and introduction.
Right.
And you're already into your keynote address by Michael Dimmock by 8:40.
Right.
Okay. All right, so this sounds like an interesting thing for people to attend,
yeah.
Especially if they don't just want to sit there and listen. They get to actually participate. And
no,
so
this is a participatory event.
Okay.
It's not a just listen and go home saying, what do we do now?
What about your people who maybe, you know, on this show we're always trying to inspire people who have, you know, 4 acres and they're not doing anything with it and they maybe need to change their own economy. And it's like we're always trying to inspire people to get going. Would this be a spot for the new and the upcoming that are just thinking about getting into?
Of course,
okay.
Of course. I'm really excited about the possibilities here in this Northern California. We have a great opportunity. We have so much better possibilities of improving our local food system than L.A. or Las Vegas or any of these other places. So
we have land, we have water,
have land,
we have sun. I mean, what are we missing? What's our what's our weak area?
Basically, desire to improve our healthy diet.
Okay, so that's the only thing we're missing.
Yeah.
Well, I think we can probably.
And this forum will, I think, start the movement toward improving our economic development here.
Mm-hmm.
It will also improve the community participation in building a healthy community here. And, you know, I think it's just a great opportunity to get things started.
Well, your list of experts, you have a lot of people who mm-hmm. have been part of local agriculture and production for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So they've seen highs and lows, and they've probably had a little trial and error, things that they know work and things
mm-hmm.
that don't
mm-hmm.
work. And so a lot of problem-solving sessions that they've already lived through. So, I mean, there's a lot that can be learned.
Mm-hmm.
So what about transportation of people? Like, you know, if you're getting, say, food from... You're in Shingletown, right?
Right.
Okay, Shingletown to Redding. Is that still considered, you know, is that hard for you? Is that a big deal?
Well, right now it isn't, but as the cost of fuel goes up, it will become more and more of a problem. And, you know, most of our food comes for an average of 1,500 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you talk about cost of fuel, you're going to talk about cost of food.
Right.
So those two are so tight, unless you go local.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the big things we're trying to deal with.
So possibly we can have a little bit less expensive food for our people if we can provide
yeah.
it right here.
Yeah. And I want to remind everybody, it is at Sequoia School.
Sequoia
here in
Middle
Redding.
School. Okay.
Yes.
And we didn't get to look up that. We're going to say go local. blogspot.com, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Like
well, Wayne Kessler, thanks for coming on, and good luck with your forum. It sounds excellent and inspiring.
Well, thank you very much.
You're listening to Positively Healthy. We'll see you next week.